Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's get it.
There it is.
It's been cold up here in Atlanta, man. It's been 60s and 70s down in the Florida. I've been up here in the cold.
Yep. Georgia is pretty schizophrenic right now. Like, and you look outside and it's all sunshine. It's like, it's 41 degrees. It's probably like, what? Like, man, you wonder why you got the
cold. Yeah, it's been sunny. That's
been cold. Yeah, we don't know what's going on. But, you know, hopefully it'll get a little nice. As we, you know, springing forward and everything like that. But, yeah, the last part of winter's wrapping this thing up. But, man, speaking
like
of wrapping up some things, man, we are excited to kind of have, you know, obviously it's definitely lighter at night, but it does kind of catch you off guard because, like, man, it's 7:30, and I'm still, like, doing work or something. So just one of those things. But, gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Talk Sports 12, man. We are missing our brother Gary, but it's all good. He'll come back next week. Maybe Nige will call in. We have a little homage to the old school, if you will. But, man, we got a lot of things to discuss. We had to get the show in tonight because there's just too many things happening on the free agency front in the NFL, NCAA, college basketball is happening. But without further ado, let's check in with the fellas. JQ, how you feeling, my guy?
Oh, well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good right about now. I was sitting here watching everybody else house on the free agency. About time, but hey, listen, you got to let the GMs do what they do, right? You never know how working in the background on this deal, trying to make sure they kept this money in there for Brown. For the people who don't know yet, the Brown is leaving the Chiefs to go to the Bengals on a 4-year deal. So very excited about that. Protect Joe Burrow. I love it.
You got to protect the franchise. You got to protect them. You're going to have a franchise quarterback. You got to put that investment. You need really about a good 6, 7, 8 offensive line when you got a franchise quarterback like that. You got to have that depth. You got to have that depth, man. You got to protect them. So definitely a good move right there for the Bengals. But other than that, on my end, all is good. JQ, Andre was a little mad at you last night because he wanted to talk to some Falcons free agency. So, but he was not going to cancel the show this week.
I don't know. I was always going to do it.
I'm teasing. Hey, I got a little taste of some New Orleans red beans and rice, even here in Atlanta.
Okay.
So, all good.
I tell you, honestly, yesterday, you get old and you forget you get old. And I tried to play. I went to a golf tournament with my friends. And, like, I went straight from there. I ate. And then I went to the office and showered. And then went to work that hockey game. And after that, man, I was complete toast. So it wasn't nothing against the Falcons. It's just you forget that when you get in your mid-40s, you can't do it like you did in your mid-30s or your mid-20s. It catches up to you.
Yeah. I understand that.
I didn't take
you know, even one. Even when we try to go out sometimes, man, I'll be out at 11:30 falling asleep places. Okay, it's time to go home.
I ain't that bad.
4 to 8 is the time to visit bedtime.
Yeah, honestly,
oh,
I ain't that bad.
Oh, man.
I'm a night owl, slowly. But, you got to get your rest, man, on the serious note, too. But, yeah, and obviously I kid. I think last year, whenever we were in the Falcons, we were in salary cap hell. You're watching everyone else spend money. And you're like, man, I wish I could. You know, you can't do anything. You know, so this is the year we're finally getting things done. We're like, oh, who else we signed? We're all excited. Who we signed today? And we made some really good moves. You know, so we're kind of excited to actually you know, winning a couple of press conferences. And, you know, like a little side tidbit, too, obviously, Damon Sotomayor, Mighty Mouse, Coach Jordan Tech. I was like, cool to get that, too. So everything is, all these little things happening. So it's a pretty exciting time for me. So, but we'll get into all that. And really quickly, got the numbers, call the show 404. What's all that? I'm giving my number. Call the show 424-243-9519. Follow us like that. Don't get my personal number out. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah,
the number 12. ESPN Sports. Don't call me too. And then last but not least, guys, go to our Facebook page, which is Talking Sports, the 12th Man, or if you put in 12th Man Sports, you'll find that as well. Rob, I think you put a fifth-round mark on there too, Rob, if I'm not mistaken, too, man. So we appreciate you posting that as well, man. So dive into that. So much kudos to you. Thank you for that. We'll talk about this because, you know, obviously this is an interesting draft because there's been some free agency moves. But let's talk about it. Let's dive into it in the words of Migos. If it ain't about the money, it doesn't make sense. So I'm going to start with that, and let's kick right into this. You know, the Jets, if you will, they're getting a taste of kind of the Aaron Rodgers show because, you know, we talked about this. He's committed. But now he's got a list of people that, you know, Jets got to sign. And, Rob, I'll let you get to this, man, because, you know, again, when does it ever stop, I guess, is the question, man. So it's on you, my guy. What's the French toast?
Hey, Aaron Rodgers is, as we've said several times on this show, is the official drama queen. Yeah, that's just what he is. He's not a king. He's the drama queen.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, it's just buffoonery, man. I don't have anything else to say, but it's just strange. It just seems like it's just very strange individual, man. It's just very weird. You know, he goes on a Pat McAfee show. Talking about that effing Jordan Love, man, is a great kid. But, you know, how are they going to draft that guy? I'm probably the best player that ever played in the franchise history and things of that nature. The Packers have all but told me they want to move on, and, you know, things of that nature. Well, why do you think they want to move on? They want to get away from your foolishness, man. The same old thing every single year. I mean, they're ready to move on, give this kid a chance. They're tired of this foolishness. They see your game slightly deteriorate last year, and it's probably going to only continue to deteriorate. You know, going forward at this stage in his career, hey, they want to move forward, get Jordan Love. They want to get him in there in OTAs to practice with those young receivers. Aaron Rodgers is not going to show up in OTAs. He wants to be in California, man. He's not going to be in Green Bay in April and June, April, May, and June. I mean, they want to get this young kid some time with these young receivers, develop and grow together. Aaron Rodgers does not want to be there, man. So they're ready to move on from the buffoonery and the show and all the foolishness that Aaron Rodgers is bringing to the table, and they go to New York, but the Packers do want some compensation too. So we'll have to see what that compensation looks like. And, you know, I hear right now they're asking for a second rounder or possibly two-thirds with the potential, depending on how far the Jets make in the playoffs, move up to one of those thirds to a second rounder. So it's going to be interesting to see what compensation they give for him, especially at this stage in Aaron Rodgers' career. I mean, how many more years is he going to play? How many draft picks are the Jets going to be willing to give up for a guy who may only play one more year, two at best, you know, going forward? So it's going to be intriguing to see what they give up in this compensation.
And that's what I was going ahead with it. You hit all the points. I don't need to rehash it. That dude's just on another level, you know, going, you know, out west and standing in a room with it. Kills me. Yeah, they ain't got no life or nothing like that, but it's got a queen bed. Like, bro, you went to a closed-off cabin, but it's got a queen bed. Yeah, like you said, a slap on the floor or a twin bed, you know. Out there on the queen bed, like, that's small. I find that to be hilarious when I saw that. But, yeah, he's always got so much going on with him, man. Those California guys, you know, I don't know what to tell you about him. But I'm messing with you. But, yeah, I think what it gets down to is that, you know, he said he didn't have those list of dudes. But it was like, how you going to have a list of dudes and say that Green Bay didn't give you enough weapons and two or three of those dudes from Green Bay? It's like, why would you want to reinvent the wide receiver staff that you swore up and down went good enough after Devontae left? But, I mean, take it with you to the Jets. I find that to be hilarious. The biggest piece about this
is that with Randall Cobb ain't caught.
Man,
yeah,
he had Randall Cobb
in the season, at least 5 years.
he had like
Lazard
five
and Mercedes Lewis.
This is my list. He gave like a
shot.
I
see Lazard.
Like
Lazard still got some game left in him. Randall Cobb, man, what is he hadn't done anything in the league in 5-6 years.
What about Mercedes Lewis?
That
dude asked for Mercedes Lewis.
That was funny too, man. He's just
do you want to win or do you want those guys just to get paid?
Man, I do, man. It's deeper than that. I ain't going to go into it on the podcast. I ain't had enough to drink to go to that level of foolishness because him and Cobb got something going on, and I'm not saying it's them two. They doing something together out in this world that if they ever got a videotape of it, something's going on there. No, I don't mean like that. It could be that or involving other people. Like, I think they into some wild, kinky type shit that only them two understand, and that's why they need to be together. So I'm just going to leave it at that. They walk around with some pineapples.
Boys really can't hang out, man. They want to play together. Come on, man.
Bro, we got millions of dollars. I can catch you in the bye week. We can meet up wherever and act a fool. That don't mean we got to be in the same building together. You know, this ain't college. This ain't the way it works in the NFL. But I'll catch you here in a second, Dre. My only thing about it is, do they get into some kind of showdown? Because I read before it was the Packers was way high, like 2 first rounds, and then you just said that, so that's come down. Do the Jets play hardball with the Packers? Like, we know you ain't going to keep them, so I'm not going to give you that. But if they do that and this drags out, does Aaron Rodgers then get mad at the Jets for, hey, man, get me in the building, get this deal done, or I ain't going to come then, and I got you, because you don't want to give up the second and third. You know, F them picks, come get me. So the Jets can only play hardball to a certain level before they piss Aaron Rodgers off. And that's going to be an interesting game of chicken between the Jets and the Packers in terms of compensation, where Aaron Rodgers directly in the middle. But, yeah, this won't be the last week we talk about this. I can guarantee you that.
Well, if the Jets trade a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers, they're stupid. I would hang up the phone with him, and I'll move on. I will move on because even with Aaron Rodgers, I don't project him winning the championship next year or the year after. So I would hang up the phone with him. Are they going to sell tickets? Or is there going to be a big media craze in New York with Aaron Rodgers there? Are they going to sell a lot of jerseys? Yes, they're going to do all of those things, right? But they're not going to win the championship. I will hang up the phone with the quickness if they say they want a first-round pick. I would not give up a first-round pick for a guy who will only play another year or two in the league. That's crazy. I mean, if this is a young 25, 26-year-old Aaron Rodgers, yeah, I'd give a first-round pick, maybe even two. Form in the prime of his career back then. But at this stage, no. I would hang up the phone and say, hey, you know, you come back at me with a reasonable offer and I'll listen, but I'll move the hell on. Well, what's the Zach Wilson if we have to?
No, come on, dog. There you went. You would just go pick one of those picks and get you one of those quarterbacks and then put him in there, but it would not be Zach Wilson.
You going to get Will Levis in this first round? As a matter of fact, in my latest mock draft, I got Will Levis falling to the Jets at 13, with or without Aaron Rodgers.
That is a crazy indictment with Zach Wilson if they do that. Go ahead, Dre.
Naj, what's up, man? Naj is on the show. What's up, Naj? How you feeling this evening, man?
What's up, bro?
Hey, what up, y'all? What up? You know me. I
try
to get in the cold before I start running my mouth 100 miles an hour. You know me, man. What up, though, y'all?
What's up, brother?
No, did you get something to drink, man? You were able to get a little something? A little something?
Nah, man.
Nah,
you know, I made a promise.
No!
So, you know, unfortunately, man. Nah, man.
I made a promise.
You know.
We want that Nas on the show, but if we're gonna get sober Nas, I guess we gotta adhere to that too. So
hey, I think sober Nas too.
Yeah, it's all good. Man, all right.
So we're gonna talk about some. Can I get in before y'all move on?
Sure, jump in.
All right. So y'all operating with the idea that all of these people move within the rules. Me, on the other hand, who is very skeptical of power and money, always believes they're lying, cheating, and stealing. I think the deal is already done. It's just, you know, they can't announce it. They can't discuss the details. I think they already did it. They already got the compensation, all of that stuff done, and nobody blinks at the 48th hour because these dudes are willing to collude against a 26-year-old franchise quarterback. So, man, ain't no way they won't collude on something like this. I think the deal's done.
That's true. That's true. Well,
could be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, damn. I don't think there's anything to say on that. Yeah.
It could be. Like, you don't necessarily announce it like that if not. But, again, you could be announcing it to put the pressure on the Packers when you know that relationship is deteriorated that far between the two of them. If you're the Jets, you want to try to squeeze a second to a third. But you could be right. I mean, a smart move would be to try to at least have to be done before you go public with it. He goes to the Pat McAfee show and all these other things. If you guys haven't even discussed the framework, you can somewhat agree on. So that could be true.
Yeah. Right, but again, this is me accusing rich people of cheating. So always assume I'm thinking that. But going by what y'all saying, think about how much Gunquist and company hate Aaron Rodgers' guts and couldn't wait to get him out of that building, and they tired of him. That's the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we said earlier. Absolutely. They tired of the buffoonery. They tired of his act. They tired of his drama. They tired of him acting like a little you-know-what. And so they tired of that foolishness. They're ready to move on.
No, for sure. Yeah.
I need to just say that for me.
Man, yeah.
Foolishness.
Man, that's the key word, foolishness. All right, so we're going to move off of the diva, the drama queen, and everything. We're going to talk about the mock draft by Rob. And again, Rob, we appreciate you putting the time in. Again, go to Talk of Sports, the 12th man, an official fifth round. And this is with the updated trade, obviously, with Carolina moving to number one. And Rob, you've got Carolina taking O-H-I-O out of taking C.J. Stroud number one. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah,
and,
that's my latest mock. Yeah, my latest mock. Obviously, most evaluators still think Bryce Young is the most NFL-ready quarterback. But if you look at Frank Reich, his history, he likes bigger quarterbacks. And, you know, for Carolina to trade up to number one, they know who they want already, right? You don't make that kind of move without having an idea of who you want for this pick. I mean, it's definitely going to be Stroud or Young. But right now I'm going to say it's Stroud. He wants to go with a bigger quarterback to take over the reins of that franchise. He's got the red rocket there, Andy Dalton. So he signed him.
Damn.
But I think for now it's going to be Stroud. You know, it could be some back and forth. But if you look at his history, he really likes to work with bigger quarterbacks. And so I think Bryce Young goes number two to Houston. I think Will Anderson goes to Arizona at three. Anthony Richardson, number four to the Colts. So
there it is.
Definitely really high. When you look at Anthony Richardson's combine numbers, I mean, this kid ran a 4.440, 6 feet 4, 230 pounds. Put that in perspective, Cam Newton ran a 4.6. So that just goes to show you what kind of athletic ability this kid has. So you know somebody's going to take a shot at him and see if they can fix him. Obviously the head coach came from Philadelphia. Can he be a better version of Jalen Hurts down the road? You know, we have to wait and see. But I got the Colts taking Anthony Richardson at number four, Jalen Carter to Seattle at five, Tyree Wilson, edge rusher from Texas Tech to Detroit at six, got Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle, Ohio State to number seven to Las Vegas. In previous mocks, I had Vegas taking Will Levis, but I think they'll pass on him with them going with Jimmy Garoppolo now. I got Atlanta taking Christian Gonzalez, a tremendously athletic cornerback from Oregon at number eight. Chicago got them staying close to home with Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle from Northwestern. Philadelphia, Luka Van Ness, edge rusher from Iowa. Interesting guy, tremendous athlete. But he hadn't started at Iowa, but definitely a tremendous athlete, a guy who NFL scouts think are going to continue to grow and get better. But he hasn't even started at Iowa in his career, so really interested. I'll skip around a little bit, and I'll go over through some of the other rounds here, too, really quick. Joey Porter Jr., got him going 12 to Houston. You pair him up with the kid from LSU. Put the a great tandem at the cornerback spot. I got Will Levis going to the Jets. Quentin Johnson, wide receiver from TCU, got him going to Washington. Nolan Smith, really good combine, edge rusher from Georgia, got him going 17 to Pittsburgh. Jackson Smith and Jigba, got him going to Tampa Bay at 19. Bijan Robinson. We've got him going to the Chargers right now. We have to see what's going to happen with Eckler, if he's going to get traded or not. He's asking for a trade, so we'll see what happens there. Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC, to the Giants to give them another weapon. I know we was texting earlier. I got Deontay Banks, cornerback from Maryland, 6'2", another. I'm wondering if he's even going to be available at 28. He may be gone before then. But right now, I got him going 28, tremendous athlete, 6'2". He's got great ball skills as well, had tremendous game tape against Ohio State, some of the best receivers he faced this past year in college. So we'll see where that goes there. Obviously, the Chiefs just lost Juju Smith. They got to take a Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver from Tennessee, at 31. I'll skip around here in the second round, just some highlight names here. Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama, coming back to Atlanta. I got him going to the Falcons in the second round. Ronnie Hickman, safety from Ohio State, got him going to Miami at 51. Darnell Washington, big tight end from Georgia. I got him going to Detroit, tremendous blocker. Kayshon Boutte, wide receiver from LSU, did not have a good combine. He played well against Georgia in the SEC championship game. And again, Purdue in the bowl game, but his combine numbers dropped him to late in the second round. Got him going Dallas to 58 here. In the third round, Clark Phillips, the third cornerback from Utah, is a guy that once was going to go in the first round. He's dropped quite a bit. Got to go in the top of the third round.
He's an idiot.
Bears. Zach Charbonnet, running back, UCLA. Got him going to Denver at 67. And let's go to the fourth round here. Zach Harrison, edge rusher from Ohio State, got him going to New England at 107 in the fourth round. Got Atlanta taking Marvin Mims, wide receiver from Oklahoma in the fourth round, one of their two fourth-round picks. But then I'll just touch on our teams here really quick. We touched on the Falcons' first two picks, Christian Gonzalez, Jahmyr Gibbs. In the third round, I got him taking Felix Anuke Anuzma, edge rusher from Kansas State. Guy had 11.5 sacks this past season, a tremendous year. I think he can be a situational pass rusher for whichever team takes him. I got him going third round. In the fourth round, the Falcons got two picks. Got him taking Jair Brown, safety from Penn State. I think he's going to help any team or special teams coming into the league. I don't foresee him to be a starter right away. He can be a backup safety and help any team as a core special teams player. We talked about Marvin Mims. And in the fifth round, they got the Falcons taking Aiden O'Connell, quarterback from Purdue, in the fifth round. The Bengals got them taking Deontay Banks in the first round. We already talked about that. They got them taking another offensive lineman. They just signed Orlando Brown. They got them taking Luke Weichler, offensive lineman from Ohio State. Most scouts think he can play center or guard in the NFL. Got him going in the second round. In the third round, I got him taking Devon Achane, running back from Texas A&M. I think he could be a really good third down back for whichever team takes him. Anthony Johnson, safety from Virginia. I got the Bengals taking him in the fourth round. Versatile player. I don't think he could be a starter day one, but definitely can be a guy that come in and be a backup and help you out on special teams. And, of course, the Bengals has to draft a player from JQ's favorite school, Michigan. And Luke Shoemaker, tight end, in the fifth round. Obviously, a guy that could be a second and third tight end for you. You're going to add some depth there. Not looking to get a starter there, but you're looking for a guy that can come in and make your football team to help you in situations there. And then my beloved Saints. We got to take in Trent Simpson, linebacker from Clemson. Now, that guy's built like a tank. Last year, Clemson moved him to the middle linebacker spot. I think he's more suited for the weak side linebacker spot. He's had better success in that role. Got him going 29 in the Saints. I got to take in Isaiah Foskey, defensive end from Notre Dame. Another guy had 11 sacks. We got a chance to see him in person last year. Got the Saints taking Tucker Kraft in the third round, tight end from South Dakota State. Tremendous athlete. Obviously, the competition a little suspect, but a guy that can possibly develop into a nice pass catcher for you. In the fourth round, I got Saints taking Nathaniel Dale, wide receiver from Houston. He's a little small. He's only about 5'9", 5'10". But the kid is 2 years ago in 2021 had 92 catches. Last year he had over 100 catches. So he definitely got great hands. If he was a little taller, you're talking about a guy that can go possibly at least in the second round. But he falls to the fourth round here. But a guy that can possibly help you out in the slot and return kicks for you. So I got the Saints taking him in the fourth round. Saints got 2 fifth-round picks. They got taking Jared Bernard Converse, cornerback from LSU.
Converse.
Had a tremendous senior year. Got good size. He started his career at Oklahoma State. He's from Baton Rouge, but didn't get recruited by LSU early. He was a 3-star recruit. Went to Oklahoma State, got better, and transferred to LSU. Had a tremendous year last year in that role. And last but not least, got the Saints taking the kind of a middle grade wide receiver, Charlie Jones. Got good hands, a guy that can help you move the chains a little bit. He's not going to stretch the defenses at all, wide receiver from Purdue, but a guy that can get first downs for you.
You already got that dude. His name is Michael Thomas.
It's like a repeat of the same exact dude.
I was surprised to give Michael Thomas a fourth chance, but they said Derek Carr really wanted him. So,
I bet he did. A healthy motivator, than Michael Thomas is a great one. A 1-year proven deal. Yeah, that's a good roll of the dice.
Mm-hmm. Especially when Little George Humphrey and some of them other folks.
Also a fact.
Little George Humphrey signed Sean Payton, brought him to Denver. But hey, the Saints had 2 really good rookie wide receivers last year, Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. Rashid Shaheed was undrafted. Mm-hmm. He turned out to be a huge pleasant surprise. He was able to stretch defenses.
Yeah.
He helped us out a lot on the reverse game, the punt return game. So if they can get another weapon or two at the wide receiver position, or if Michael Thomas can even come back to be the old Michael Thomas, that would be a huge game for them with Derek Carr coming on board. And then you go out and sign Jamal Williams today, so you got a 1-2 punch at running back with Kamara Williams.
No, that's a 1 punch. Kamara's going to be in jail. He's going to be in jail punching somebody. That's why you're going to get Jamal Williams.
That's paying full freight for half it. Like, bro, Jamal Williams is not good. He just happened to rush for 18 touchdowns or whatever it was last year on 1-yard dives. But he is not good. Shout out to him, though. He's a football lifer, really good fourth-string running back. But, like, yo, he got over, man. This is some all-star level vulturing of production and turning it into money. Shout out to him. But, man, y'all going to wish y'all did that.
All the DeAndre Swift owners are all nodding their head like, man, what the fuck? Why can't he get in on one of these, man? What? Come on!
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That was me. I was sick the whole season. Like, man.
That dude got 25 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he had 3 1-yard dives. I was sitting there like, come on, Detroit.
Detroit, like, this is our boy. Come on, man. What the hell?
He ran for over 1,000 yards last year.
It was that in that week 8. I think it was week 8 that start. Where, and shout out to DFS for everybody that plays DFS. Jamal Williams was the chalk player of the week because he was starting. Swift was out. Everybody said, oh, well, I mean, you got to play him. Everybody's like, dude, he's not good. I'm not playing him. And, of course, he breaks a 70-yarder, gets a tud, and then runs in 2 more 1-yarders and breaks the slate, makes somebody rich, and everybody was sick, bro. But Michael Thomas is worse. He put up 100 yards and 2 tuds in week 1. I didn't see that brother again for the rest of the season. Killed one of my dynasty squad.
Hey, I wanted the Saints to get rid of him, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm really surprised that they bring him back, that he ain't played in 3 years.
You know,
y'all got the Magic Salary Cap book. That's why.
Yeah. The thing that stands out to me about your draft, especially in that first round, I mean, I think for me as a Bengals fan, that would be almost perfection if they were able to get that to work that way for them, to get a tight end out of it, get a running back, get some O-line depth. The piece of me that I saw with me is Michael Mayer, a tight end to Baltimore at 22. Because you know Baltimore they want to get Lamar back, but you know they're going to run the ball. They always have a pretty good defense. But the knock on them is they don't go get somebody to, you know, help on the outside, right? And you already have, you know, a Pro Bowl tight end, Andrews. And I'm not saying Michael Mayer is a dude. Like, he's fantastic at Notre Dame. Don't get me wrong. But do you do anything to dispel that myth that you still won't go get somebody from the outside that can burn when you still have, you know, Addison on the books, the highest still out there, and you go get another tight end? It's almost like picking from a spot of luxury when everybody is already questioning, hey, why don't you go get somebody on the outside that's a game breaker, right? So to me, that would be really interesting if they did that. What does that really mean for the Lamar Jackson conundrum?
Right.
Yeah,
and it's not like they haven't drafted. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was
My bad, Rob.
Looking at the success Lamar Jackson has thrown to the tight end. You know, you go back to the old New England days when they had Gronkowski, and speaking of going to jail, Aaron Hernandez, when he had those two tight ends, how successful they were, right? And Lamar Jackson had a lot of success. Even if you go back and look at Lamar Jackson's college game tape, he always had a lot of success throwing the big targets and tight ends down the middle of the field. So you could be successful with a two tight end offense. Is it a luxury? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Will this happen? It may not. But, you know, that could really help their offense, could really help their running game. But, yeah, they do need some help on the perimeter, too, as well. But, yeah, I think personally it would help Lamar Jackson really, you know, hit those dimes down the middle of the field, you know, with those two tight ends. They would definitely be hard to stop. And it's definitely a nice target for Lamar Jackson. I think it could help improve his completion percentage, too.
I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, yeah, go ahead. Nice. The perception that you won't go get him an outside weapon. I'm not saying you can't win that way, because you absolutely could win that way. You give him an answer, they're a problem. Those hashes, they can just own them, right?
Yeah.
It's the perception that you keep not going and getting that guy on the outside that the other top quarterbacks have, and then you don't do it nothing else while you're in the middle of this contract negotiating with him to dispel that myth is what I'm saying. Go ahead, Nigel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they draft well everywhere except wideout. So the problem isn't that they haven't tried to address it. It's just they miss every time. Rashad Bateman is probably the best one they drafted, and there's injury concerns there. Early in the season before he got hurt, you can kind of look at the passing game and see what Lamar was able to do with him. So that's an issue. My issue with Mayer is, I don't know if y'all saw him last year, but Isaiah Likely, he was a rookie tight end for them last year. He's really good. I don't know if Mayer gets on the squad and you immediately don't play him. So that's the only thing about draft. It's kind of redundant because Likely, dude, when Andrews was banged up and Likely started, he looks like a tight end once. You know what I'm saying? So
now,
that's
the only other
issue I got there.
The only thing that Likely doesn't have is he doesn't have the run blocking, right? So when Likely is in the game, you're telling the defense, oh, it's probably a passing play here, right? And so that's
right.
The one thing.
100%.
That's the one thing that you have that you can still throw the defense off of Andrews and Amir is in the game because both of them can block as well. And, you know, so they have that aspect in the game. And I think Andre and I went to the Notre Dame game. And Mayer, they were just throwing screen passes to him because their quarterback couldn't throw the ball down the field to give him the football. So I think he's going to be a little bit better in the NFL from a pass catching standpoint than what we saw in college. They were literally throwing screen passes to him just because they couldn't complete 10, 15 yards down the field. Yeah, they really couldn't.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if Isaiah Likely is like how Juju was this past year. Juju was a glorified tight end. That dude put on a whole bunch of weight. He wasn't leaving nobody. He was fighting in the phone booth for 17 games, and he won a Super Bowl with him. So can Isaiah Likely be that thing where you have those two tight ends? You know he's not the burner, but, again, you still don't necessarily have to burn unless Bateman comes back healthy. So you can still work all three of them if you wanted to in that kind of really heavy kind of a set for Baltimore, which I don't want to fucking see, but it can work.
Yeah. And I like Likely coming out of Coastal Carolina, too. Last year, when we started doing mock drafts, I really liked him. I would have loved to see the Saints get him, too. That was the difference between Likely being a first and second rounder versus where he got drafted. We
run
knew he'd come in and be a pass catcher. But he's not going to help him. He's got to get better in the run blocking game for him to be on the field throughout all three downs.
All right, that's too much Baltimore talk. Go ahead, Dre.
Until he does, get him up to see. Well, we do got to add the cherry on top of the Baltimore thing. Like, this is outright collusion. The NFL, as much as they talk about everybody wants to win, winning is the most important thing, this clearly tells you the bottom line is always number one. So Jimmy Haslam, raggedy truck driver stealing from salt of the earth American robbing NFL owner that he is, overpaid for Deshaun Watson, reset the market, pissed off the rest of the owners, and they've all decided they're going to act in concert and not let Lamar get his money. It's a disgusting thing, and I think that has to be said, like, whenever we address this, because a 26-year-old franchise quarterback, yes, you trade two first-round picks and pay the freight for that, because you never get the opportunity to get that. But they're willing to expose him to this so-called free agency little fiasco because everybody's in on it. Hey, we're not doing this. We're not going beyond this Deshaun Watson thing. We got to, you know, they're making their stand. This is ownership making their stand. And it's sad, though, because Indianapolis or one of these other teams, if they got Lamar, dude, we'd be talking about a whole different ball game, man. So I just wanted to add that, man, because we got to call this out, man, because come on, man. Franchise guy, 36? Come on, bro. Quarterback?
Yeah. But, JQ, that was an interesting article you sent us, too, about, you know, about teams or afraid that have been negotiating with Lamar. They're setting the price for Lamar for, mm-hmm. and doing the work for the Ravens, too. I thought that was
right.
I mean, I agree with what Nigel's saying, too. But I also thought that was an interesting article, too, about teams doing the work for the Ravens. They know the Ravens are going to match whatever somebody's offered them. So why do the work for the Ravens, right? And you know, I think it could be some. I think there's some validity to both sides of it, right? And I definitely think it's some collusion, but I also think these some organizations like, hey, we know the Ravens are going to match whatever we offer him, and why have our salary cap tied up, you know, for however many days that is, right? 5 days or a week or what have you.
5 days.
Why have your salary cap tied up for that?
Yeah, but the only problem is we've seen people create poison pills for your boy. shout out to the Knicks and the Houston Rockets back in the days of Linsanity. Like, we saw organizations create poison pills to make it more difficult for the original team to, you know, re-sign a player, because at the end of the day, if that money gets you that prestige or that franchise quarterback, you do it. But in this case, they're not going to do it. And here's the sad part, and JQ, cover your ears. You don't want to hear this. The person at the last stand is Mike Brown, because he's going to have to pay Burrow. And look, man, Mike Brown is not going to collude with y'all when the Burrow thing comes. He's going to pay. So that's
yeah, no, he giving Joe Burrow all that money.
Where this falls apart, yes. He's gonna,
he giving all that money.
Yeah.
Hey, yep. And then Justin Herbert in the background, cap is patching like, hell yeah, I'm next. That's hilarious.
I was going to say this really quickly, you know, just kind of, we'll talk about free agency and stuff like that too, but really quickly, Rob, about the mock draft, thank you for that. I would just say regarding, you know, us, it's interesting because, you know, quarterback first, you know, we're going to see what happens as far as free agency with edge, because those are the kind of two positions I'm looking at, edge and quarterback, if you will, for Falcons. At some point in that second round pick, I really truly believe we're going to get our center. We're going to get, like, you know, John Michael Smith from Minnesota. I'm very intrigued by DeJuan Jones, if you will, JQ. You know, that's a big old boy, man. So I'm really concerned about him. And I'm also about the Siaka Aiku from the defensive tackle from Baylor. So those are kind of like, if there's a trade-down scenario, you know, it's too high to take those guys, but I'm thinking at some point, edge, or you're going to get the best quarterback, like you said. Depends on what happens if you wrap up free agency. I'm sure there's a cornerback going to get signed. Then we can kind of get the edge or something, you know, trade down. Like I said, John Michael Smith, that's the guy, the name I keep hearing about the Falcons. We need a center. DeJuan Jones, I like him, but we got to get a big guy, whether it's, you know, that big defensive tackle from Baylor, Mazza Smith from Michigan, sorry, JQ, or Keanu Benton from Wisconsin, if we kind of wait a little later. So those are kind of the situations, you know, what happens that we're looking at. I know we got to get,
like
another number two wide receiver, but somewhere around there, I'm thinking those are the kind of situations we're going to get. But, you know, I appreciate the draft. Anything out of that, Nas? Yeah, good.
Yeah. John Michael Smith, I got him going to the Giants in the second round at 57.
Mm, I like him. I like him. I know I'm thirsty on this, but let me get this last take in. Look, y'all know. Look, this is going to be a wide receiver bonanza in this draft because that's the least value position. It doesn't look like there's any game breakers there, and there's going to be some breakout guys that we didn't know they had it in them, and somebody's going to benefit from that. But y'all know my Anthony Richardson little thing that I've been going with. It was based on the idea that people were talking about him being a second-day pick or at the end of the first round, top of the second. That's where I was like, yo, with that potential and, you know, his metrics, I think that's a guy that you draft. I wasn't saying draft him before the other quarterbacks, like number five, like, yo. And I think Rob's analysis is correct. I think somebody is going to overdraft him. But I was thinking 12, 15, something like that. Yo,
I don't think he'll last that long. I could be wrong.
No. I think you're correct because of those metrics. I think that's what's going to happen. But, again, I was talking him up with the teams or something like that. I didn't think it would get this high because of the hysteria after the combine. But, no, Rob, I think Rob is right. All you got to do is convince one. I think he is going to go in the top seven or top five. Like
what do
Rob
I say every year, Rob, about quarterbacks in the draft when you do this? I say the same thing every year.
Hey, they got to
artificially
rise. Get overdrafted. Yeah.
Right.
They got to get
artificially rise.
You look at his game tape from last year, and it's really only one game where you're really impressed with the man, and that was the Utah.
Yeah.
If you watch that game and don't watch any other game this year, then you're going to pick him in the top five. There's no doubt about it. But when you start to turn on the other game tapes and you're like, whoa, man, this guy's wide open and he's missing, throwing the ball in the dirt and, you know, overthrowing him and things of that nature. So the accuracy is very erratic. So he's definitely got to work on his game. But the talent, there's no question. The talent is there. But
he's a project.
Jalen Hurts, I don't think Jalen Hurts was accuracy was ever that bad. But, you know, what he struggled with in college and what he struggled with in Oklahoma and what he struggled with his first starting year in Philadelphia, when he struggled with getting the ball downfield more than 30 yards and being accurate with it. Now, you saw this past year, he improved tremendously in that area when you look at his accuracy.
Right.
Beyond 30 yards, right? He was able to stretch.
He got A.J. Brown. He
died
in somewhere.
You took the words out of my mouth. About to tell you, he got better receivers this past year.
Right.
That probably helped him out too. So, you know, sometimes it's about putting the right pieces around him. So we'll see. The arm talent is there with Anthony Richardson. He's got the wheels. He's got the physical ability. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. And like I said, you got a head coach in Indianapolis who came from Philly, who had Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson. Might be twice the athlete that Jalen Hurts is.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. A lot.
I can fix some culture of NFL coaches. Like, period. Like, dude,
yeah.
You see an athlete like that, NFL coaches immediately think, I can fix him. It's like y'all with that toxic girl you met at the bar years ago who you've been trying to fix ever since. That's just how it goes.
This guy. Let's keep it real. Nah, probably Anthony Richardson's agent. So we're gonna let you do that. Nah, it's just all good, bro.
But Nah is right though. A lot of these teams are gonna keep trying to get a quarterback. You know, hey, if they miss, they're gonna just keep trying again, right? And so you got to take a shot at it. You know, at some point
you got to
take a shot at it. Mm-hmm.
You don't have one, you don't have five teams, man.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield with like five teams, which is crazy, man. We'll talk about that later. But let's talk about some free agency updates here really quickly because I know we do. Hopefully we can get to some NCAA stuff too or whatever. There's a lot of moves. I'm just going to really quickly talk about some winners. And, you know, obviously what I would say about this gentleman is that a lot of times if you're shoring up your own, which is also great too, right? So, you know, looking at some winners, you got to like what the Dolphins did. You know, they're getting Mike White, you know, because we're not sure what's happening with Tua. They end up, you know, re-signing Moffitt, and I had the list pulled up really quickly, too. So just taking care of your own. They got David Long, Jalen Ramsey getting that trade, Raheem Moffitt, and Jeff Wilson, too. So, I said Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, so, again, good moves. I got to like my Falcons, what they did, obviously, you know, getting Jesse Bates. I thought they were going to overpay for Jesse Bates, but that was pretty good. You know, they got Still look from slightly, but not as much as I thought. I'm thinking, you know, he's being like $20 million, but that, you know, that's pretty good. You got to like, you know, getting stealing from the Saints, man. You know, I love stealing from the Saints all the time, man. You know, that's just half the battle. And, you know, just kidding. I'm giving you a hard time, Rob. But, you know, it's just all in love, too. But
it want to be like
too. And then, you know, re-signing Mikayla
McGarry,
that was great. You know, back and forth. We've gone back and forth. Morton Anderson, gone back and forth. Bobby Hebert, Joe Horn. We can go back and forth. Michael Hayes, all these. We're going back and forth, man. That's just how the Falcons do. Falcons and Saints have been doing this for years. And then, you know, the Commanders doing good, getting, you know, Brissett, the 49ers. I'm just going to say real quick, a loser right now off the gate is the Rams, because you talk about just the fire sale. Them guys are going down. I don't know what the hell are they going to be able to – what the hell is happening with the Rams, man. So right now, that's my loser, if you will. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that too.
But I think one team that we didn't talk about as far as the winner is the Broncos. I really like what they did. And you got to give Sean Payton a lot of credit. You come in, he's a great salesman, so he's going to be able to come in there and attract free agents and sell them on his program. And how do you fix Russell Wilson, right? You go out and get Mike McGlinchey from the 49ers, who's got long arms, a great right tackle, great extension. You go out and get Ben Powers at guard. And Chris Manhertz, one of the best blocking tight ends in the game. You better be a good blocking tight end, with a name like Manhertz, right? So you go out and get Jarrett Stidham as a backup quarterback. So how do you fix Russell Wilson? You're going to protect him. You're going to run the football, and hopefully you can get him back. I mean, you got to. Is this going to be the breakout year for Jerry Jeudy finally, right? K.J. Hamler. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to see. I hear they're possibly trying to trade Sutton. I'm not sure what's going on with that, so we'll see what happens. But I like what the Broncos did. I mean, what they did with that offensive line. Dre touched on this with the Commanders. You got to like what they did with their offensive line, too. They're going to get Andrew Wiley from the Chiefs. They're going to get Nick Gates from their division rival in the Giants. So I like them showing up their offensive line as well. And then the Bears, I mean, they trade down. They get all those draft picks. They get DJ Moore. They get Tremaine Edmonds. They get TJ Edwards. So you got to like what they did right there. They get offensive guard Nate Davis from Tennessee to help shore up that line. You want to give Justin Fields some extra help, and I got him taking another offensive lineman in the first round. I'm giving the 49ers credit for just signing Hargrove from the Eagles.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Yeah, that's it right there.
I mean,
defense line is six.
You got an elite defense already. Then you go out and get better. Now, I know Hargrove is 30 years old, though, but he had a phenomenal year last year, double-digit sacks from the defensive lineman standpoint. The Patrick Peterson, man, this guy's like 45 years old, man. But yeah, 5 INTs last year with the Vikings.
I can't wait. they feel like his own ass up. I can't wait. I would have kept that went to the Lions, then left the Pittsburgh and let Patrick Peterson go somewhere else. That's just me though. But I'm not here to make the Steelers better, so I'm for it.
Talk about cousin, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, the Seahawks are getting Draymond Jones. I thought that was a good move, helping with their defensive line. Eric Kendricks, I think going to the Chargers was a good move. And considering the number of high-profile free agents that the Eagles have, I think you got to give them some credit, too. They're able to keep Bradbury. They got Fletcher Cox back. You know, we're going to see what's going to happen with Darius Slay and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson here. Yeah, so we'll have to see what happens there. But I think for them to keep some of their key pieces, I thought was a fairly good job on there. And I could brag about the Saints, but y'all won't hear me brag about my own team, so – I'll leave that one for another time.
Y'all touched on the ones I had. I was looking at the Broncos. I know we don't have Gary on there, but the Cowboys getting Stephon Gilmore is not a bad move. I mean, you know, you got Richard Donovan Wilson. You got Leonard Van Der Esch. Mm-hmm. That defense was the best part, the best unit on that team. You still got to overcome Dak Prescott, and that's a conversation for another day. But pairing him with Diggs on that outside is – you know, in that division, you know, when you got to deal with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, that's who you're chasing, right, through the Cowboys. That's a good aggressive move that really didn't cost them a whole bunch in terms of draft capital. I also had the Bears, which you talked about in the Falcons. I really like what the Panthers are doing. If you look at it, if you've identified that guy that you said that you wanted, and I know it cost them D.J. Moore, don't get me wrong, that's a tough blow. But I think the DJ Moore was ready to move on anyway. He was tired of that shit in Charlotte. You move up to go get your quarterback that you want to get. Then you go get Miles Sanders, a running back, to help that. You get Hayden Hurst. Mm-hmm. You get Von Bell. You resign offensive line wasn't terrible. You resign Boozman. I mean, and then you got two defensive linemen. Like, depending on what they do with the rest of this free agency, and they got to me, they've got to come out of this draft with one of these wide receivers that Najee touched on. One of these guys, if we look back a year or two now and say, damn, how did he go in the third or fourth round? And he's explosive. But you pair him with that young guy that you draft and let those dudes grow together and get him a veteran running back and a good offensive line and a defense that if they can shore up that back end, that's why you go get Von Bell and you get him a Hayden Hurst, that quarterback. I like what the Panthers are doing. It's rare that you have a team, two teams pull off a trade like that and you can like what it happens for both of them. I like what the Bears did and getting and more and getting the picks, but I like what the Panthers are doing in free agency to say, okay, let's shore up these pieces. Let's give them a veteran tight end. Let's give them a veteran running back. Now, if you get the quarterback, because they go on quarterback first. Get the quarterback. If you come out of that with a wide receiver at some point in that draft as well, to go with that veteran tight end and that running back with a good offensive line, you set your quarterback up for better success. So I also like the Panthers a lot in the free agency.
I agree with that, JQ, and I like the fact that the I hate it for the Panthers because they're in our same division, right? But I have to agree with you. I like what they've done, and I know we texted about that a little bit too. I know they gave up a lot to move up number one, but they still have a draft pick in just about every round of this draft, even with that trade. Mm-hmm. And they got the number one pick overall. You look at Frank Wright, right? He's like, I'm done with this. I'm tired of this foolishness with us going to get these 45-year-old quarterbacks, Matt Ryan,
mm-hmm.
Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz here the last 5 years. And he said, that S ain't working. So I'm going to go up and get a young quarterback that we can grow with. I'm going to move up to number one and get a guy that's going to help us, right? And then on top of that, not only Frank Wright's experience, let's talk about the Carolina Panthers experience at quarterback in the last 5 years. Think about the names that have been starting at quarterback in Carolina in the last 5 years. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Phillip Walker, Teddy Bridgewater, Jaquan Jenkins, Andre Peterson. I mean, just think about these names that have been playing at quarterback in the last 5 6 years for Carolina, right? And the franchise is tired of it. Frank Wright is tired of his experience as a coach. We're going to go get a quarterback. We're going to go get some pieces. And we still got drafted in just about every round in this draft.
Right. Perfect way to handle it. And, dude, the thing that stands out the most in this free agency period as opposed to the past previous 2 years is everybody's composed. Nobody's reacting, overreacting, and spending crazy money on somebody whose profile doesn't fit that. So – when you see the 49ers grab another pass rusher, another D lineman who's going to solidify the D lineman, you're like, yeah, they should pay for that. No problem. When you see other teams do the things they're doing, Miami getting Jalen Ramsey. And shout out to Jalen Ramsey and Patrick Peterson. I don't know if we should be still calling them corners because these guys are clearly moving to safety. They in their Rob Woodson swag right now. Like, these guys are about to move to safety. Like, that's about to happen, regardless of what mm-hmm. they're listed as. We're about to see these guys play some safety. And I think both of them will be really good at it. But corner, mm-hmm. boundary, none of that. But, yeah, so I'm really excited by this free agency so far. Shout out to Tampa. You get Baker for nothing. You bring him in a long season. You don't care if you win games or not. You're rebuilding. So you bring in Baker for nothing. You put Trask behind him. What happens, happens. No problem there. Carolina, like you said, moving up for that number one pick, get Stroud in there, developing and roll on, and Indy gave up on their reclamation project, and now they're going to build with a real quarterback. So, yeah, man, I'm liking a lot of these moves that are being made. Like, this is a smart free agency period, except for the elephant in the room, which is, again, Lamar Jackson. Crazy that Indy or Atlanta is not bringing this dude in because he could change the whole trajectory of these franchises. But, you know, the game is the game, baby. You got to do what you got
to
do.
Getting back to the Carolina quarterbacks here, I just pulled up the list. This past year, they started P.J. Walker, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. They had Teddy Bridgewater a couple of years ago, Will Greer, Kyle Allen, Taylor Heineken, Derek Anderson. He's been a starting quarterback for Carolina going back to 2014. Yeah, obviously,
wow.
He's been living there.
Dark,
but yeah, he was 45.
Those were some of your starting quarterbacks for Carolina last year. So, like I said, the organization was fed up. Frank Wright was fed up with the experience with the coach. We're going to go get a young quarterback and see if we can get a franchise quarterback.
Oh, and shout out to Chicago for bringing in P.J. Walker. For those that don't know, shout out to Momani Jones on this. The backup black quarterback theory, which to me is a real thing. Y'all can study it. Shout out to Mike Tomlin. Y'all can study it if you want to. But the issue is this. If you're in a city that's not majority black, you cannot have a white quarterback behind your superstar black quarterback. You know why? Because if that guy struggles for any period of time, and anybody in Carolina can tell you this, when people were calling for Derek Anderson to start after a bad Cam Newton game, you have to have a black backup quarterback, because otherwise the masses, the unwashed masses, will call into every local radio show and talk about how this 13-year veteran backup quarterback who's never started should be starting. Like, this is – I'm just telling y'all that. This is a real thing. Chicago did their work. P.J. Walker, backup quarterback to the Boys.
Oh, the unwashed masses.
Hey, JQ, people think I'm telling jokes, but if you could pull up Carolina radio after a bad Cam Newton game, you would be shocked at what people were saying about the ability of Derek Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, I have to concur, because I was in Carolina too, so I hear you, man. The asinine, it's real. It's real. He's like, what the hell is happening up in this place? Yeah, craziness. Derek Anderson, man, that's a name from the past. Hey, we got to wrap this show up. We literally have 3 minutes. I don't know if we're going to do a slight OT, but it's on you guys. I don't know if you want anything you want to talk about before we get ready to wrap it up. If you will. I know there's some NCAA talk. You have a quick opportunity to hit some topics, if you will, and we'll go around and kind of do this, man. So, Robin, you want to talk about, if you will, my guy?
Let one of you all go first. Let me figure out what I want to talk about.
All right, I'm just going to do it because I don't know. I haven't been paying attention. I'm going to Houston, Kansas, Baylor, and Duke. And Baylor and Kansas in the all Big 12 championship game. I'm still trying to figure out who I'm going to pick.
What do you have,
JQ?
That's for your final four? That's your final four?
Yeah, Houston, Kansas, Baylor, and Duke, just because I just did it in 5 minutes. So that'll probably be open poll, but that's what I did.
I hate to say it, but Duke is playing really good basketball right now. And Houston's got a loaded roster with Jamal Shedd and Marcus Sasser, Jairus Walker, who's going to be a top pick in the NBA draft. So they're loaded. You know, Kansas, you know, they're pretty solid. But I'm worried about
Kansas, though, man. Yeah,
well, they're defending champs. And they got Grady Dick and the other
Jaylen
kid,
Wilson.
Justin Yeah, Jaylen Wilson.
Yeah.
And so they got a good 1-2 punch. But Texas just took it to the woodshed like 2 weeks in a row. So my final four, I'm going to go Alabama. Much as I like to say it, Marquette, Shaka Smart, man. Those guys play tremendous defense. Their defense and the offense. I'm going with Shaka Smart and Marquette. I'm going to go with Texas. And I'm going to go with Kansas. A national championship game, Texas and Alabama. Alabama cuts the Nets down, unfortunately. I hate to say that with Brandon Miller. But we'll see. You know, we'll have to see if his head is in the right place. So,
that's what I'm going to say. That pressure will get his ass.
He's got security guards going everywhere he goes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show on tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We're going to have a brief OT portion. You can click on the rest of this link the rest of the week to get the rest of the show. Hey, we want to hear from y'all. Next week, I believe we're going to be back on our regular scheduled night of Tuesday night. So East Coast, hey, NBA, man, Philadelphia, Boston, you know, got them running for that number one seed and number two seed. and the Eastern Conference. We want to hear from y'all on the East Coast, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And then, of course, you got the Milwaukee Bucks in the Central Time Zone. We want to hear from y'all 10 Central on next week. And, of course, the Denver Nuggets in the Mountain Time Zone at 9 p.m. Then our West, UCLA. Y'all going to make it to the Final Four. We want to hear from y'all down in Hollywood. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing else. I appreciate y'all for listening in. Get a homeboy Gary back next week.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Gary.
Yeah, Rob, anything you want to add to that, my guy? No, go ahead. Oops, my bad.
No, my bad. I'm out of practice. I'm the one jumping in on everybody's toes. Look, so I'm going to do my annual tradition where I take the favorite and I put them in the hat. Then I get rid of all the Cinderella sweet stories, storyline stuff. I throw them in the trash, and I take the competitive seeds, and I put them in the hat, and then I pull the name out. That's how I handle the NCAA. You know why? Because it's one and done. It's a crapshoot. All of your data doesn't
really
matter. All of your stats don't matter. How does a shooting guard who's 19 years old, who's having problems with his girlfriend, play on the road against New Mexico State in a hostile environment? You don't know. He's a teenager. Again, put the names in a hat with the favorite overwhelmed, and then you pull them out. That's what I do.
Hey, watch Oral Roberts, man. He's praying hard over there in Oklahoma. And Max Abbott, man, guard. No, I'm really serious. Watch Oral Roberts. They got a deep team. Max Abbott's one of the top scoring guards in the country. He lit up the NCAA tournament last year. So a lot of that team is back, including their star guard player. And they're deep. They got some talent. But they play Duke in the first round, so we'll see.
That's why you're talking
you
about it.
Oral Roberts,
Rob? Come on,
Rob. Come on, Rob.
Hey,
What did Agent Smith say to Keanu Reeves, Mr. Neal? That Mr. Anderson, is the sound of inevitability. So when you come out here with your little Cinderella story about how your little team that could, your chuck wagon on wishes and hopes, no, they're going to get drowned out by top 150 players who are better than them. Your little Cinderella story is not going to work. It's going to bust your bracket. Stop loving on these underdogs.
I ain't ready to pick. I want Oral Roberts to be Duke. I ain't saying I'm ready to pick him.
Kozlinski is going to put 20 and 10 on them boys, man.
Man, I hope not. The Duke's playing really good right now. They got a good thing going. I have to give them credit.
Good job, Naj, quoting one of my favorite movies, The Matrix, man. That was right there. You know, like I said, I was focused just between knowing the path and walking the path.
Like
that was even great. So good stuff on that, man. So, man, the red pill or the blue pill?
It's the anti-Hoosiers, man. I love it, dude. Stop telling these stories about your plucky hero who beats the number one
team.
No, you're not
going to
beat the
number one. I think Indiana going to get upset.
I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I ain't walking through that door, so no chair.
I have no idea. who to pick this year. I haven't really paid attention. So I'm not – this is probably – watch I'll do good this year because, you know, whenever year you have, like, the bracket, you're like, yeah, I don't even know this year. You know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Join the hat community, Andre. Join the hat community.
That's a matchup for Indiana with Miami.
Usually the people that win these brackets, the people that have no clue about college basketball.
Not a damn thing.
Because they like the school colors or they like the mascot, and then somehow they wind up winning. They have no clue.
Not only they win, they be like 90% correct. You're like, man, come on, dog. How, Sway?
The office secretary who picked on colors of uniform beat the hell out of the guy who's reading Kim Pomeroy updates every 20 minutes. Like, it's crazy, bro.
That's true.
I need to get my wife to fill out a bracket. So, you know, me, I'm going to pick with logic. So I need to have her to fill out one bracket just so for the heck of it.
Yeah.
You got a shot of winning that 25.
You may not. Because if she beats your ass in that bracket, you ain't never going to hear the end of it. You out here every night doing these shows. Here I come and pull out the bracket. I'll whoop your ass, Rob.
and that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, man. It's a one-off. This is not the NBA where it's a seven-game series where you legitimately got to beat somebody. All you need is one good night, baby.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
In the right matchup. Sometimes it's about a matchup. Sometimes you match up with another team better, and then sometimes you get the wrong matchup and you out. You know, you get a team that match up against your weaknesses, and hey, and you're long gone. You out of the tournament.
Yeah, we small, they big. We small. That shit happens, and you get knocked out.
Right.
Yeah.
Your star player gets two fouls in the first 10 minutes. Or somebody shoots 50% from three. Shout out to Kevin Pitsnoggle.
Kevin Pitsnoggle.
I'm saying, yeah. I will say this.
Wow.
I agree with you, JQ. I agree with everyone. We had one bracket where this kid, he was picking because I got, you know, because they were asking kids, like, hey, how do you think Butler's going to do? He liked Butler because he kept liking Butler. He's like, ha-ha! He kept picking Butler. And that's how they ended up winning that one bracket, because he just thought it was funny. This little kid was like, oh, I like Butler because he feel like butt. And then he kept, like, winning. Like, what the hell? My little nephew, like, oh, Butler, that's funny. I'm going to keep picking Butler. Like, what the hell? You can't make this shit up.
That is great.
Yeah. So, there you go. Anyway. I digress, but like I said, it's going to be an amazing couple of days. We'll wrap this up. I mean, again, we're a sucker for this. You know, sometimes you're watching it, sometimes you don't even care about your brackets. You just like seeing, like, good stories, even though you are joining the hat community, like you said, Naj. See, so sometimes you get caught up in some upsets, good games, and little things like that, too. But yeah, good stuff.
But you're going to see a lot of good games and a lot of close games. Well, you look at the two games last night. I mean, Pitt and Mississippi State came down in a wire.
Right.
Mississippi State had a chance to win it with a three. They had a chance to get a putback to win. And, so you're going to see a lot of these games, just like we see every year. They're going to come down to the wire. And the best part of these games is going to be the last 5 minutes of these games, because they're going to be close. Obviously, you're going to have some blowouts, but you're going to see a lot of competitive games that go down to the wire. And that's what makes the NCAA tournament exciting.
Yeah, and let's add the Instagram and TikTok factor. What teams are going to be on TikTok all night, making TikToks, getting sent TikToks? And then what teams are on Instagram with access to women they normally wouldn't have access to, who take advantage of it and risk losing in the time? Like, dude, all of that is up there. How many teams who are favored, if they're playing in a game that's a three-point game with 5 minutes to go, how many people get the lemon booty? Like, bro, you don't – nobody can know that. The best data guy can calculate that.
Did you say the lemon booty?
Oh, my goodness. Just fuck her up, Pop. Oh, my goodness. You stupid. See, y'all thought it was me. I ain't the only one. Oh, got the lemon booty. I'm about to use that one, bro. That is good stuff. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Y'all know it's real. We've seen it all our lives, bro. Y'all know it's real.
Oh, my God.
We've seen it all our lives.
He said lemon booty.
Wow.
I heard him right. Did he say lemon booty? That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, because that
pucker up.
Yeah, I knew where he was going with that. That's why I stood up and walked away.
I was like, wait a minute. Did he say lemon booty? I think he said
lemon
booty.
Oh, my.
He said lemon booty.
Oh, I am done. You can't end the show on a better note than that. Shout out to you, Josh, for joining with and dropping lemon booty on us, bro. Hell yeah.
It happens to the best, man. Y'all know, we've seen these games where a higher seed is playing some low seed, untalented team, and the game is a 2-point game, and it's five to go. Dude, eyes as big as saucers, lemon booty. You're pissing down your like, bruh.
Everybody, I'm looking for the white towel. I'm looking for the white towel here.
Where's the white towel?
Gentlemen, it's been fun. I'm with you, Naj. JQ, I don't really trust Alabama as well. I'm not sure about. I mean, I want to like Alabama. But I'm really nervous about what's happening with Brandon Miller. I'm really in.
I don't want to like.
I want to pick him, but I'm like, I don't know, man. It's one bad night, man. You don't know. They're gonna like, somebody's gonna talk some shit to him. He's gonna like. I don't know, man. I really don't know what's going to happen with that dude, man.
It's
mentally.
It's the crowd.
I'm really nervous about that.
He going to get to some city?
I'm
gonna,
worried about it.
It's going to be the crowd. They're going to be there fucking with him about that, and it's going to get to him. Watch.
Yeah.
I don't know what round it's going to be in.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, though.
19 years old.
You know, he's
19 years
yeah.
old. He's not going to be able to handle that. Hey, anybody but Alabama and Duke.
He could leapfrog Scoop in the draft. Like, if he's able to handle this, that's a medal that you know you don't expect from a 19-year-old. He could leapfrog Scoop in the draft. Like, that, it could get that crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you said it right, because nobody's leaping Victor, that's for sure. He's a surefire number one pick.
That's a done deal.
Would you say, Naj? Say we got to say, Naj, we can wrap this up. What are they going to have?
That lemon duty. That lemon duty.
That's how we
hit it. Hey, you need a new sound bite montage, right?
That's it.
That's gold.
That's it. Hey,
gold.
But y'all know it's real, though, man. You know what I'm saying? Knees weak, arms ahead. Like, dude. It ain't mom.
Come
spaghetti.
On, Am.
It's that pressure. Like, it's coming.
True.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, so I'm going to be
I got
dollar,
though. Have a good one. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Be good.
All right, y'all.